Let me welcome all of our campuses that are joining with us. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor here at Love and Truth Church, and I'm glad you're there, whatever campus you're joining us with today. Thanks for coming and being a part of the day. We're excited about what God is doing at every location of Love and Truth Church, and we believe that you are on assignment today from the Lord and that He's got something great for you. Would you take your Bible or whatever you have the Word of God downloaded to? Let's hold that up and let's make our confession together, would you? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. Today I will be taught the Word of God. I boldly confess my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. I will never be the same, never, 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 I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Now take that Bible and turn to the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter. I want to take the next couple of weeks with us and talk to us on this subject of money matters. I want to talk about that money matters, and then I want to talk about money matters. All right? I want to show you today that money matters in your life, and then next week I want to talk about how that money matters, how that we handle money, what we do with it, and what takes place in our life as we handle it the way that the Lord wants us to handle it. Let's look in the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter. Just one passage there, and then we'll go to the book of Proverbs. Here's what the Lord Jesus said. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and... Boy, it just went quiet. You cannot serve both God and... Everybody say money. Money, 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 money. Okay, we won't sing. Proverbs says this. Proverbs the 11th chapter, the 28th verse says, those who trust in their riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. The Lord says to us, if you're looking to your money to keep you propped up, it's going to fail you at some point of your life. But if you're plugged into the Lord, you're going to thrive and you're going to be in good places. Now, anytime that a pastor chooses or anytime that a pastor teaches about finances, people immediately begin to say, well, I can't believe that the church would talk about money. And so I did some research. Let me show you something. There are over 2,300 scriptures in the Bible that relate to finances. Now think about that. Over 2,300 scriptures in the Word of God that relate to finances, and only around 500 that talk about faith. Wow. Now everybody wants to talk about faith. Come on, pastor, preach us one of those faith sermons. Help us to live by faith, to walk by faith, to believe by faith. And yet the Word of God talks time and time and time and time and even one more time more about your finances, about your money, about your treasure, how you live life and what you do with your finances than it does about faith. Now how many of you would think if faith is important, finances are important as well? Maybe even more. Uh-oh. Come on, we'll just keep going. We'll dig into it. We'll figure it out, all right? Here's what we find. Those who do the social research on this tell us that when people get ready to divorce and they really kind of take everything and pull away all the fluff, that what they find is that within divorced couples, that money issues rank either number one or number two as the greatest problems in a marriage. Now think about that. Think about what's happening in our marriages when we get under the weight of financial pressure, and the Bible says that we become a servant to the lender, and we're always fighting and we can't ever get above, and one's wanting to do this and one's wanting to do that, and it just brings about all kind of difficulty. Now here's what we know about America. According to statistics, say that the average credit card debt in America is $6,600 a person. And some of us are always above average. Right? Come on. The average consumer has 3.5 credit cards. And again, some of us are way beyond average. We decided years ago we didn't want to be average, right? Come on, don't get quiet on me now. You think it's bad now, just hang on. All right? The average age that a person in America gets a credit card is 20 years old. Now think about that. I mean, they're not even out of college yet. They're barely getting life started, and all of a sudden, somebody is signing them up for a credit card that is going to rule over them for many, many years to come. The average credit card interest in America about a week ago, I don't know what it is right now, was 12.36%. I did a little research on that. You ready? If you pay the minimum amount on that $6,600 credit card, it will take you 23 years to pay it off. Are you ready? Y'all want T.D. Jakes to come say, get ready, don't you? Because some of you are not looking very ready right now, all right? Now, on top of that, let's talk about medical costs that happens. Let's talk about student loans that takes place, that you went through college and you racked up all these expenses. Let's talk about car loans and house loans and every other kind of loan that we can get. And before we know it, we are under so much pressure that we don't even know what it's like to be able to breathe deep. And what takes place is that we find ourselves living under the taskmaster. We find ourselves in bondage, and we don't even know how we got there. It's kind of like we woke up and said, how did we get here? How did we come to this place where we are under so much pressure, we can't even enjoy life anymore? Dave Ramsey calls it stupid tax. Right? If you don't listen to Dave, you should. And I've paid a lot of stupid tax in my life. I have allowed the whole aspect of money and finances to get on top of me time and again in my life, and I have found out that it is no fun being under the thumb of debt. It is much better to be freed from debt than any other way that there is. One of the greatest reasons that we find ourselves in this place is because we have the wrong attitude about money. And I want to show you five wrong attitudes, according to Scripture, that people have about money. The first one is trusting in it, okay? People have a tendency to trust in their money. They feel like, I've worked hard for this, and as I've said for years, you know, you get all you can all you get, and you sit on your can. Right? And yet Jesus said this. He said, don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin and all kind of things break in and steal. But he says, set your affection and store your treasures up in the heavenlies. And verse 21 says, for where your treasure is, there is your what? Heart also. And I've heard that preached all my life backwards. I've heard it preached that if you just give your heart to Jesus and you'll come to salvation and you'll just get in the church, your finances will follow that. And yet the Word of God says that your heart follows your treasure. Now think of, you say, well, I just don't believe that. I don't believe my heart follows my treasure. Let me prove it to you. Buy a new boat. Your heart will follow itself to the lake. Buy some golf clubs and your heart will follow yourself to the golf course. Buy some season tickets and your heart will follow you to watch the Titans lose, win, whatever, right? I mean, it's that whole aspect of our life, and if we're not careful, we start trusting in what it is that we have and what it is that we've bought. The second attitude that's wrong is an attitude of being distracted by money. Colossians says this, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And then he goes on to say, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. He said, don't get all distracted about everything that's going on around you, because if you're not careful, you'll miss out on the most important thing on this earth. Jesus said it this way. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these what? things. All that stuff we're going after, Jesus said, if you make him first, if you set him as the first priority, he said, then he will bring about these things into your life to bless you and to help you. The third wrong attitude is an attitude of squandering what you've been given. Now, I want to help you with just a second here to understand what money is. If you make $20 an hour, every time you spend $20, you just spend an hour of your life. The next time you walk into a store and you see that blouse that's only $20 that you can't live without. And maybe you can, I don't know. You need to ask yourself, is it worth an hour? Boy, it's just getting really, really somber in here. All right? The Word of God says that we aren't to squander. In fact, Proverbs says it this way: the wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down. Ever been around those people? Come on. You know you have. I mean, if they got a dime, they can't wait to spend it. I mean, they get a raise, and they've already figured out six ways to use that money they just got a raise from. Come on, you know people like that. They live their life leveraged to the hilt. Everything about their life is what they can get, and they're always living there. And let me just talk to us for a moment, because here's what happens is we live in a world that constantly promotes that you need more, right? Have you been to the grocery store or to Target or Walmart lately and just looked at the toothpaste aisle? Come on, I mean, when I was growing up, you had Colgate and Crest, and I remember it was an Ultra Bright that came out, and that was the greatest thing ever, you know, and there might have been five choices. Now, you look at Colgate or Crest, and they've got 83 varieties, and maybe I'm stretching it, but not by much, right? And you stand there and go, I don't know if I need whitening, or I don't know if I need strengthening, or if I don't know if I need whitening that's strengthening. Right, and I better go home and see what I had last time because I probably need something different this time. And we literally have been given that time after time after time. And we live that we never can have enough. Oh, you got this, but you need that. You got that. I got the iPhone 5, but now the 6 has come out. Now I got. But the problem was that I couldn't use all that was in the 4, but I got to have the 6. Right, I don't have a clue what to do with 90% of what's in it. Come on. But I got to have it because everybody else got it. And what I don't realize is all those people that I think are so high and mighty, they are so leveraged to the hilt, if they sneeze, they'd go bankrupt. But we're trying to impress people by buying stuff that we don't need for people we don't even like. And we squander. Come on, listen, I don't care. You can have nice stuff, go for it. I'm all for it. I don't mind at all. But if you can't afford it, don't buy it. All right? I just read something recently in preparation of this. Said that most Americans go in debt at least $2,000 just to go on vacation. Stay at home. Go to Walmart and buy you a little plastic pool. Fill it up. Tell the kids that's the pool for the summer. I'm your friend. I'm trying to help you to understand that the problem is, in fact, let me just give you the fourth problem, fourth issue or attitude problem is serving money. All right? The Bible, again, Luke talks about it, again, quoting Jesus, and says, no one can serve two masters. Either you're going to hate the one, you'll love the other. And he goes on to say, or you'll be devoted, and I love that word, to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. All right? And I'm telling you, we live in a nation where most people serve money. We got to get a better job. We got to work more hours. We got to spend more time. We got to go. We got to run. We got to do this. We got to do that. We got to have this. We got to have that. And what we don't understand is that, listen, every time you buy something, if you're not careful, you just came under its dominion. Amen? Come on, how many of you found out that new car becomes an old car? Right? And now you got to pay to keep it running. And you buy the house, but how many of you know the house has to have maintenance? And you get this, and you get that, and you get the other. And if we're not careful, all of a sudden, we find ourselves serving instead of the Lord. We're serving stuff. The fifth attitude is loving it. Now, let me say this before I read the scripture. You don't have to have money to love money. I have been around people who were poor. In fact, they weren't poor, they were poor. They didn't even have the R, they were so poor. All right? But they loved money. All they could do is talk about money. All they could do is think about money. Now, the Word of God says this in 1 Timothy. Timothy says this, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil." Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with grief. Now, that scripture gets misquoted just about more than any scripture in the Bible. Everybody says, well, you know that the Bible says money is evil. It doesn't say that. Read it. It says for the love of money. Again, you may not have two dimes to rub together and you can love money. And you may be a multimillionaire and not love money. See, all that, let me tell you what money is. Money is simply dominion certificates. If you start thinking about them that way, you'll live differently. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, let's talk about it. The Word of God says that you have been given dominion on this earth. Now, in a little bit, when I get done here, those of you at the campuses, those of you here, you're going to leave this place and you're going to go somewhere and you're going to take dominion over a hamburger. You're going to walk up to the counter and you're going to say, I want a double this and a half a pound of that and I want this and I want that. And when they bring it, you're going to take dominion over that hamburger. You're going to lay some money down, and all of a sudden, you have now taken dominion over that. You're going to go to the grocery store. You're going to go to some place to buy stuff, and when you walk in there, what you're going to do is you're going to figure out how much dominion you've got. Come on. How many times have you done it? Your kids think you got more dominion than you do. Right? Because your kids keep throwing stuff in the cart, and you keep putting it back. And what you need to start telling them is we don't have dominion over that yet, right? We only have X amount of dominion today, and we don't have enough dominion to buy all those toys you want. See, all that money, listen, there's money is not evil. Money is an inanimate object. You can use money for good, or you can use money for evil. It's up to whoever it is it's using. In fact, here's what I have found out through the years. Really, one of the things that money is a magnifier. You ever seen somebody things start getting better and things are going, and all of a sudden they got some money, and all of a sudden people say, I didn't know they were like that. Oh, they were always like that. The money just magnified. It's kind of like Facebook. Oh, I can't believe that was always in them. It just got magnified on Facebook. Woo, I'm preaching better than your amen in this morning. Right? I can't believe they'd say that. They wouldn't say it to your face, but it was always in them. It just magnified it. All money does is magnify. If you are a good person, you're a blessed person, you're a wonderful person, it'll just magnify what you are. If you're stingy and greedy and nobody wants, you'll just be that. You'll be, you'll be the Ebenezer Scrooge and just hold it all to you. It's up to you. All right? And the one thing that I wanted to say, because I hear in the body of Christ especially so often that this philosophy, and even in our nation, that if you're wealthy, something's wrong with you. And I want to tell you today, I want to show you the other side of the picture. Being wealthy can be good. Now, I have people say to me all the time, I don't like people who have money. It's just because you don't have any. I don't want to get in your business. But if nobody who's got money walks around and goes, I don't like people who've got money. You got money, you don't even think about it, right? Come on. Why do people, listen to me, I'm not going to get into politics this month, but why do people scavenge and do everything they can to get to this country? They do it because they think they can have a better life. They can be blessed. They can be wealthy. So they'll get here any way they can. And here we are living in this country, and all we can do is complain. And we talk about, yeah, you just got to understand, you know, the man is keeping me down. I have been looking for the man for all my life, and I cannot find the man. I've looked for him. I tried to find him. See, wealth is not bad. You say, well, I don't believe you ought to have money. Well, I believe you should. I read the Bible. Let me give you scripture. You're giving me that look. Let me give you the word. Those campuses, watch, listen to pastor. The Bible says the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow to it. Now listen, I looked the word rich up. Guess what the word rich means? Rich? No, you didn't hear me. It means rich. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich. What does that mean? What's the Hebrew and the Greek and the Aramaic? And it means rich. God wants you blessed. Now, rich is, there's a scale. I'm not, but God says, I want you blessed. Well, I guess you're one of them prosperity preachers, aren't you? Listen, I tried being a poverty preacher and it wasn't fun. Nobody was signing up to come and hear a guy who was busted and broke and didn't have anything. It's like, we don't want to follow that dream. Right? Come on. How many of you know you are not going to go to a seminar and pay $39.99 to hear a guy tell you how to be broke? You're not going. It's just like, no, I'm not going there. Why? I already got that one down. Right? So you say, I don't believe being wealthy is good. Well, let me give you some for instances out of scripture. One is that if you're wealthy, if you're blessed, you can bless other believers. Now, I put that in there specifically. Other believers. Okay? Here's what the Bible says. The Word of God says that we are to do good, especially to those who are of the household of faith. All right? We have a policy. There are all kind of wonderful social service systems here in Jackson, and I thank God for every one of them, and we partner with several of them. But we have a policy here at Love and Truth. Now, we're a large church in the city. People drive by, they see big buildings, and they think that, you know, we just have $100 bills back there laid up. Okay? And they call, and they want to. And the question was, is, do you go to church here? And when they don't go to church here, we say, we're sorry, here's the places you can go. Now, I know some of you are looking at me, I can't believe that church would do that. Wait a minute. The Word of God tells us as a church to do good, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Now, they'll cuss out the secretary when she tells them that, but you know what? That's okay, because there's the social service systems here in the city to take care of those who are not of the household of faith. All right? And we support them, and we're part of that. But that's not our first priority. Uh-oh. Well, it may get worse before it gets better. I don't know. All right? The second reason it's good to be blessed and wealthy is you can meet all your obligations. Bills. Let me just throw it out. All right? The Bible says, owe no man anything but to love him. If you're always juggling, here we go, Jesus help me. Come on, baby, we got to sit down today and we got to figure out who we going to pay this month. And we paid them last month, so we know we got 30 days before the bill collector starts calling. Come on. And the reason we're in this mess is because we've bought stuff we shouldn't have bought. Come on. See, here's my deal. I believe with all of my heart, in fact, that's the next one, if you're blessed, you can help the poor. I don't have a bit of problem doing that, and I do that personally, and we do that even as a congregation. But you know what? That's not my first priority. Did you hear me? You didn't shout, but let me say it again. It's not my first priority to help the poor. Jesus even said, the poor you have with you always. You say, Pastor, I can't believe. Listen, I give to the poor. We give to the poor. The Bible says if you give to the poor, God will give it back. I have no problem with that. But here's the issue. You ready? We live in a world, especially in America, in the West, where people don't want to work, but they want you to work. Well, Pastor, I can't find a job. Come with me. I will take you 10 places before lunch that want to hire somebody. I walk in places all the time. Help wanted, help wanted. I mean, we're hiring this, hiring that. I'm just overqualified. Wait a minute. The Bible addresses that. The Bible says if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. And I'm just kind of laying that out there. I know I shouldn't be biblical on us or anything. Right? Let's not bring the Bible into it. What would happen? Now, I'm not, listen, there are reasons, there are times. I'm not talking about valid health issues or those kind. I'm talking about people who have just decided that that's how they're going to live. Here's what would happen if we'd shut those checks off. Oh, help me, Lord. I said it, because let's go. You get hungry enough, you will find a J-O-B. You will go to work. You won't lay at home waiting for the postman to deliver what somebody else paid in. Uh-oh, I know I'm meddling. Come on. Again, I'm not against helping people who are destitute, people who are in a rough place, people who have gone through a tragedy, a heartache, a sickness. Listen, you know my heart better than that. But I am to the point. I'm the guy who just says what everybody else is thinking, and that is it's time that we begin to say in this nation again, listen, there's opportunity out there, but you got to get off the couch to get the opportunity. So don't get mad because somebody else got the new house or the new car if you can't get off the couch. Oh, help me, Jesus. Let me get Holy Ghost again right now. Another thing that when you're blessed and wealthy is you can send the gospel to the world, right? The Bible says, how can they preach except they be sent? And you know what I have found out? That when I get ready to go preach the gospel somewhere around the world, that when I call up Delta and I say, Delta, I am a man of God. I'm going to preach the word. I want you to hear me. I'm going to see signs and wonders and miracles. Delta says, how many Dominion certificates do you have, sir? They don't care who I am. They want to know, do you have the $535 to get a seat on our plane? And if you don't, you're going to be sitting at home. I just can't. People say this all the time. I can't believe the church is interested in money. Let me help you for a minute. When you go to that place you like to go shopping, just go in there today and just load it up. Well, I don't care, Kroger, Walmart, Target, wherever you just go, load it up. And then just go to your car. Those checkout take too long. Just go, come on. Just run on out there to your car. Start unloading. I promise you, they're going to say to you, sir, ma'am, do you have any Dominion certificates? And if you don't, we got a place that they're going to put you for about 11 months and 29 days. Right? God, what is the deal? We get so righteous and holy and super spiritual that we miss out on the reality of what it is. Let me give you the last, I got to hurry. The Word of God says that if you're blessed, you're wealthy, you can leave an inheritance for your family. In fact, Solomon said that you're to leave an inheritance for your children's children, even for your grandchildren. You're to be blessed, and you're to bless them. Now, the Apostle Paul kind of shows us how to do this, and I want to bring this into our lives today before we leave. Philippians 4:10 says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at the last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, he said, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. He said, you didn't have any way of doing it. But he said, I'm not saying that because I am in need. Now, listen to what he says. For I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. Now, what he's going on to say, he said, I've learned the secret, okay? See that? I have learned the secret of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. And then he goes to that next statement that we quote all the time, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. What he's saying to us is this, and I want you to get it, and I want to be quick with it. He said, look, here's what you've got to do. He said, I have learned how to handle life. All right? Listen to what I'm going to say. We've got way too many people that life is handling them. They're not handling life. Come on, I deal with people for a living. And it blows my mind how many people let life handle them. They're always in a mess. They're always in a problem. It's always a difficult. They never know how to grab a hold of life and say, no, I'm going to handle this. I'm going to get my house in order. Now, let me say this to you. You've got to understand, and the Apostle Paul goes on to say this, you've got to learn to rely on God above everything. He's your source, he's your strength. But let me say this to you, and it's going to bind some of your spirits, and I don't mean to, but I want you to hear me. God can't bless disorder. Any area in your life that is out of order, God can't bless it. If you do not, let's just throw the word out. You think I'm going to use a four-letter word, and here we go. If you do not have a budget, God can't bless your finances. You say, I don't believe that. Well, read the scripture. It says to us, hey, if you want to know how to take care of things, go and watch the ant, oh sluggard. And he didn't say, oh slugger. Like, aren't you a good baseball player? All right? Watch how he gathers in the spring to store for winter. What's he saying? He's saying an ant has a budget. Whew. Well, Pastor, I'm a tither and I'm just believing. And I'm going to mess it up, and I'll talk a little bit about tithing next week. But I want you to hear me. You can be a tither, but if your house is in disorder financially, God can't bless it. Because God doesn't pour money into pockets that have holes in them. Let me throw this out, and I'll move on, because I can tell you're about to shout. If you as a family don't know how much you make and how many bills you have, you're in a mess. And it's not going to get any better by you hiding the bills. Well, we just pretend we didn't get them. No, they're still there. You've got to come to that place where you acknowledge and you begin to take dominion. And so here's what the Apostle Paul goes on to say. He said, I have to commit my life and my family to God. All right? Listen to me. You are a steward of what God's given you. And when you squander it and when you waste it, God's going to hold you accountable of that. And one of the things that's happened, and man, I know we're not shouting, but one of the things that's happened is that we have lived so fast and so loose with credit cards that we have put ourselves under so much slavery that we don't have, listen, I may make somebody mad, and I don't mean to. You don't have to have somebody put you into slavery. You've already put yourself into slavery. You've already chosen to let somebody somewhere else rule over you because you just couldn't wait to have the newest and the greatest. I just should have turned the air conditioner off today and preached about hell. We got a lot of people saved, hot as it is. Air conditioner is blowing wide open. Some of y'all sweating right now what I'm talking about. Let me give you the last one. I have to remember God owns it all. It's His. I'm going to give an account of what I did with it. I'm not, listen, pastor's not talking to you to live a life that is so chintzy that you can't. I'm not saying that. But I am saying it's time we got out from under the thumb of debt. Money matters. It wears you out. You get wrinkles. You all kind of things start happening because you live under the pressure of never having enough. So let me close with this. Here's what we need to do. First of all, we need to practice godly contentment. Apostle Paul said, I found out if everything's great, I'm content. If I don't have anything, I'm still, it's God. God, you're my source, you're my strength, I'm content. The second thing is you need to understand the power of debt. Debt will ruin your world. Debt is one of the most powerful things upon this planet. Now, I'm not against all debt. Some people say, you shouldn't have debt. I'm not one of those guys. I'll even violate a little bit of Dave Ramsey. I'm not even one of those guys that say you shouldn't have a credit card. I'm one of those guys that say, if you got a credit card, you better pay it off at the end of every month. All right? If you use it as a business, whatever, pay it off. I'm fine with that. I'm just not fine with that 12, 13, 18% interest you're paying. All right? You got to understand, debt has power. And there's good debt, and then there's horrible debt. And you got to understand the difference. We'll talk a little bit about that next week. And lastly, you've got to know that God is your source. Some of you today who have listened to me, you're in a mess. You're in a mess financially. You're in a mess spiritually because of your finances. You're in a mess in your family and your marriage because of your finances. And pastor's not up here today beating you up. I do not want you to leave this place with condemnation. I want you to leave this place with an assurance that there's help and there's hope. Listen, I told you already, I've paid the stupid tax. I know what it's like to live with credit card debt and all that mess. And I want to tell you, many years ago now, Sherry and I set a budget, and if you've ever been to Dave Ramsey's before Dave was around, we started doing the envelope system way back. And if we didn't have it in the envelope, we didn't spend it. And it took us about 3 years to get out from under all of that stupid debt. And I want to tell you, I'm free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty. And I ain't going back. Pardon my grammar. I refuse to go back under the bondage of debt. So I want to help you. Next week we'll talk a little bit more of some specifics. But I want to help you to get there. Because if God is the source of everything, then we've got to look to Him. We look to Him for salvation. There may be some of you today, and you say, Pastor, how can you talk about salvation after you talk about money? Listen, the most precious thing in your life is not your money, it's your soul. And there's a God who cares more about your soul than He does about your money. And if you don't know Him today, He wants to save you. It doesn't matter what campus you're at, before you leave today, He wants you to come into relationship with Him. And that's what we want. But John said it this way, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. You can have the financial situation taken care of, but if you don't have the soul taken care of, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his eternal soul? And so the greatest thing you will ever do is not get your money in order. The greatest thing you'll ever do is get your soul in order in relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen.